there's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Oh, we're very excited for our second installment of Silly Underdog Picks here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
So excited.
On this Thursday afternoon. We've got pep in our step. We're ready to get after it. We're in a good mood. I think all of us are, maybe. Let's start with our esteemed panel. I'm Darren McFarland. Chase McCabe is in a good mood. How about Forever Titan Chris Sanders? Is he in a good mood?
What you want?
No, he's not in a good mood.
Man, I'm doing rocks at TVs. I'm doing my shoe. If I had a dog, I would have threw the dog. But I was upset, man. And then all of a sudden I get a text from Darren sending Bugs Bunny and, like, he's getting a swole on. I mean, that just adds more fuel to the fire. So I'm not in a good mood right now.
So there you go. Forever Titan Chris Sanders.
You can dish it out, but you can't take it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Not a good mood.
But guess what? It's another week now. I'm ready to get on. Let's go.
Let's find out if our other Rutherford County resident is in a good mood. How about Kelly Holcomb? Is he in a good mood?
Man, I'm always in a good mood, fellas. Win or lose.
Gotta stay calm, man.
It's a marathon, right? It's not a sprint.
It is a marathon, but we had a runaway train last year that started in the middle of the season, so we got to keep that down. We got to keep that squashed this year.
it's a comeback.
We're going to try to do that. So Kelly's got some pep in his step. I've got some pep in my step. Chase has got some pep in his step. Chris, Forever Titan, the track star, he's got no pep in his step. So with that being said,
I have a question real quick. If Chris is Forever Titan's wide receiver, what team is Kelly Forever connected to?
Yeah, who are you?
Is he a Blue Raider?
Who do you want us? Yeah, who do you want to be attached to, Kelly?
Hey, man, I'm like a mutt. It really doesn't matter. Who cares?
You know? A mutt. All American.
Hey, they all paid well, so I'm good with you.
All their checks cleared?
Yeah, they did. Absolutely.
Oh, that's the line of the year so far. I'm like a mutt. All right. So with that being said, let's turn it over to the commish, Willie Donick. Willie, oh, Willie D. Willie D.
Ooh, oh, Willie, oh, Willie D. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your commissioner speaking. Glad to be with you once again. We are underway with another season of Silly Underdog Picks, and I got to be honest, I am really excited because I wasn't sure what the contest will hold, but the excitement is only going to get better as more and more college football teams start to hit the field. We've added the wrinkle of the pros as well, and so let's go ahead and review. Before we get to our online winners, let's tell you how the insiders did in the opening week. Remember, this year, we're going to have the four players pick two games each and not just one. One college game, one pro game. So let's go to the results. Darren McFarland, having finished last year, had the first pick. And he took advantage of that by taking Georgia Tech, a 12.5-point dog, on the road at Florida State. They were down 10-0 early. They had the first two kicks of the season blocked by a brand new kicker, but yet somehow survived. They were down 10-0 at one point. They come back and win 16-13 in shocking fashion. So Darren gets 12.5 off the bat. So wow, he is already almost to where he had all of last year. I think he ended up with 14 points
the whole
really
year.
There's
really no need for all that extra information. Just stick to this year. We're in 2020.
Don't live in the past.
There's no need for all that extra info.
Darren, I'm just congratulating you on a great first pick.
Yeah. And keep bringing up last year's nightmare.
Okay, well, it's getting more and more in the rearview mirror, though, I guess. That brings us to Chase McCabe, who finished just ahead of Darren thanks to a bowl game victory to get out of the cellar. He had the second pick as a result and selected Will Healy's Charlotte 49ers, a 17-point dog. At App State, in Appalachian State, of course, tough place to win. No fans, who knows? It was a 21-20 ball game at the end of the third quarter, so the 49ers were right in there.
But App State pulled away and wins it 35-20. So, Chase, you were right there, but came up short.
Yeah,
and, of
no
course, for people that are new to the contest, no points for a cover in underdogs. Yep.
No points for a cover, but got to hand it to I don't know what you guys think, but Will Healy, to me, and just from seeing him at Austin Peay and then now in his second year at Charlotte, I think there's a bright future for him as a head coach. So they hung in there tough. We're supposed to play North Carolina this week. That game has been canceled. It will appear in our online contest. It's already been submitted. We can't take it off, so don't pick that game.
Hey, but can I ask you a question? That sounds good and dandy, but did they win?
Mm-mm. They did not, Chris.
No. Okay, that's all we need to know. We don't need to know that.
No.
Okay.
We don't even need to know that.
In all seriousness, guys, I thought, look, Will Healy will, you know, if he's able to put together, have a magical season in Charlotte or start putting together, I mean, he will definitely get mentions for bigger schools. But the guy who really stood out to me is Billy Napier at Louisiana. I think he's going to be the hot ticket item. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, they played well the other day.
They dominated their game.
Yeah, they really did.
And you're starting to hear people talk about this guy. I don't know if people knew much about him.
Yeah.
But you're starting to hear a lot of chatter about him. I think if they, you know, if they have a really good season this year under him, I think he's a guy that's probably going to be one of those names you're going to hear.
Mm.
That brings us to the third pick. Kelly Holcomb had South Alabama playing at home as an 8-point dog against Tulane, and he was on the right track.
Oh,
they were right there. They had control of the game, up 24-13 at the end of three, but Tulane rallies. The Green Wave wins 27-24. It slipped through the Jaguars' fingers.
Yeah, and I had no idea either because I cut it off. I told Darren with all his, you know, him and Chris, they all want a text now, you know. So when I win, they want a text. So he texts me, and I was about to say, well, go Jags. And then he goes, they pooped the bed. And I was like, please don't tell me that they lost. Because I actually turned it off. I really did. I mean, I was watching some of it, and I actually turned it off because I thought the game was over. But we all know how that goes in underdogs.
Tough one. Tough one for the Jags. A missed opportunity. And so that brings us to defending champion Chris Sanders, who selected right out of his book of how he won a championship in his rookie year, Syracuse, a 23-point dog at North Carolina to take on Mack Brown and company. It was no contest. The Tar Heels win it easily 31-6. So the formula that was so successful for Chris last year, so far 0-1.
Yeah, but it was close. It was close the first quarter. It was 7-6.
The first quarter was close. Okay.
So I was like, "Let's go. Let's come on, Syracuse. You got it." Went to go get a sandwich. It was 31-6. It was over. So I was very upset.
Who was the last coach you played for? Said, "Guys, if the game was a quarter long, I think we'd have won it."
John Cooper.
John Cooper. Wow.
Yeah, he said that a couple of times.
He didn't say that against Michigan.
He sure didn't, because we got blasted.
Ouch. Well, that brings us to the pro picks, and Chris Sanders had the first pick in that round. He went with the G-Men, the New York Giants, on Monday night, the precursor to the Titans game, 6-point dog against the Steelers. They lost 26-16. Saquon Barkley neutralized by Pittsburgh. The defense looking good for the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger comes back, and so Chris falls to 0-2.
Thanks.
I mean, I was surprised. Pittsburgh controlled the game.
Oh, man. New York Giants didn't look good at all.
No, they did not.
Yeah, Saquon did not help our fantasy
team.
Not
at all.
Yeah, we need a bounce back. We need a bounce back from Saquon. Kelly Holcomb had the second pick. He got his first win of the season on the Sunday night affair that involved the L.A. Rams, 3-point dog in their brand-new stadium, which is a monstrosity, against the Cowboys. Of course, no fans in there, but it looks like a palace. The Rams pull it out 20-17. So Kelly's on the board with 3 points.
Bad call. Sorry, is this mic on?
Hey, look, the Rams were on Hard Knocks. I mean, they're going into a new stadium. It was an easy pick.
Yeah.
And once again, I mean, we got to find out about the Cowboys. Are they phony or what?
Oh, Chase, you're
they're for real.
You're a rebuttal.
They're for real.
Mr. Cowboy fan.
Right, they'll be fine.
No, they're not.
They'll be fine. Oh, okay. They'll be fine.
Hmm. We'll see. Time will tell. That brings us to Chase McCabe and his first pro pick of his young career, and he went with the Cardinals of Arizona, 7-point home dog against the 49ers, the defending NFC champs. So he picked the 49ers in the college, picked against the 49ers in the pro, and it worked for him in the NFL as Kyler Murray and company get the win, 24-20, a very big W for Arizona to start
the season. Actually, that game was in San Fran.
Yeah, I put the wrong thing down on there, but it was a 7-point victory in San Francisco for Chase and the Cardinals. Chase, congrats.
Thank you very much.
Way to go, bud.
Thank you. Kyler Murray. Love Kyler Murray. DeAndre Hopkins there is his number one receiver. Looked good, felt good.
Mm-hmm. That running touchdown by Kyler Murray, I almost burst out laughing. In fact, I did burst out laughing. It was just so crazy. Nobody could catch him. He was just playing at a different speed than every single other person on the field. So that brings us.
I love that combo in fantasy, Murray and Hopkins. Darren, good combo if you had it.
Darren, you had the final pick, and you went with the Dolphins, a 6.5-point dog on the road against the Patriots. And as we know, Cam Newton running the ball very often, effectively, and winning 21-11. So you come up short in your first one, but you have the lead at the end of 1 week with 12.5 points.
Wow.
Chase with 7, Kelly with 3, Chris still looking for his first win.
I thought Fitzmagic was getting on the plane to go to Foxborough. It was pick Patrick.
Yes.
And if I would have known that, I wouldn't have picked the Dolphins. But yeah. We've seen that Fitzpatrick before.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to tell the two apart.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it, the results from week one. Now let's check the online contest, and you can play every week by going to thegamenashville.com. Feel free to keep joining us. We've added the pro games to the slate this year. The most popular picks, quickly, South Alabama had 35% of the audience selected South Alabama as one of the games. As we know, that was right on track, but they couldn't hold on in the fourth quarter. Georgia Tech, which did win, got 27% of the audience picking them for one of the games. Then third place was Western Kentucky, had 23% of the audience selecting in their game against Louisville. That didn't go so well for the Hilltoppers. So those were the most popular picks. The winner at the end of 1 week, the weekly prize goes to Robbie Cook from Nashville. He had a score of 36, so congratulations to Robbie, who takes the weekly prize. We got prizes every week for you right here on 102.5 The Game. Play the contest by going to thegamenashville.com. So there you have it. When we come back, we will have the picks for week number two, so stay tuned. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear,
it is time for week number two. The insiders will make the picks. The Silly Underdog Contest in 2020, right here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We will start with the college picks and then snake around for the pro picks. So after 1 week, Darren McFarlane has the lead, trying to redeem himself after a poor season last year. He's got 12.5 right out of the gate. Chase McCabe with 7. Kelly Holcomb, 3. Chris Sanders still looking for his first win. In week two, here's the order. Chase will have the first pick, then Kelly, then Chris. Then Darren will have the last pick of the college and then the first pick of the pros. Then Chris, Kelly, and Chase to round it off. So we snake around. We'll start with Chase McCabe.
Time to play the game.
Thank you, Commissioner. I have changed my pick 7 times, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But a lot of different options, a lot of research went into this. But I am going to do something that could be dangerous, but I'm going to do it anyway. Last week, I took Charlotte against Appalachian State. I'm going against Appy State again and taking Marshall.
You suck, Chase.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I second that.
So that was on people's radar.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Marshall is a 4.5-point home dog against 24th-ranked Appalachian State. The Thundering Herd. So it's safe to say you guys had that one circled?
Everybody's number one pick, probably?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Well, I feel
unbelievable.
Good.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Chase.
Sorry, I'm not sorry.
So Chase has something against Appalachian State. I don't know what you don't like them?
I just think that they're going to lose eventually.
Mm, okay. All right, that brings us to Kelly Holcomb. He'll have to go to his second choice here. He's got pick number two.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
What would George say?
Well, thanks, Chase. That was awesome. So I am going to go now with my second pick, obviously, and I do not see how they can play as bad as they did in the season opener.
No.
They did not look good.
No.
Don't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I'm gonna have to say the Navy midshipman beat Tulane.
I thought for a minute he was going to go with his alma mater with the same.
He won't do that.
I told y'all the criteria for my alma mater. I'm not picking them.
I know. I was going to say that would go very much against your philosophy if you did that, but yes. I thought you were going that way. So
I think it's a winner. I think it's an absolute winner.
I had that one marked too.
That was my second pick for sure.
I'm good.
The midshipmen of Navy are a 7-point dog on the road against Tulane. So some of these same schools are coming up each week. So Tulane pulled it out of the fire last week. So just like Chase, Kelly thinks the second time against the Green Wave will break through. So Navy is the pick.
I just don't think Navy can play bad twice in a row, hopefully. We'll see.
I'm with you. And they had the extra week to tackle.
Yep.
I think it's a winner.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to Chris Sanders, defending champion in his sophomore season, trying to avoid the sophomore slump after an 0-2 start.
Well, I appreciate it, Kamish. You know, there's a saying that you always say that when you get knocked down once, you got two choices, to lay there and get up. So guess what? I'm picking Syracuse over Pitt.
Again?
Wow.
Again.
Again.
I believe in Syracuse.
Evidently.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Once you get knocked down, you got two choices. Later or get back up, and we're going to get it. The Orange Men are going to get up.
I think Pitt won their first game 55-0.
Okay. Now can I change my pick?
Sorry, Austin Peay. I didn't mean to bring that up. But
this is interesting. So all three of you have a little bit of a taste from last week going back to the well.
Yes, sir.
So Syracuse, who failed Chris miserably last week as a 23-point dog at North Carolina, this week they're a 21.5-point dog at Pittsburgh, ranked number 25. And so he goes with the Orange to bounce back. Now that would be a story. I'm guessing none of you guys had that one on your radar.
I did not.
No.
Besides
that, that was my number one pick.
No.
Wow. Okay. That brings.
I love when Kelly was describing the team that Chris thought it was Syracuse.
I did. I really did.
And I knew right away he was taking Navy. Right away, he's taking my pick.
That's a good call, Dan. I really did.
That is great stuff.
Yeah, all don't think like Chris.
But I'm surprised, Chris. I thought you were going to go with the Citadel.
Negatory. No.
The Citadel. They are available to you, Darren, with one pick left. They're only a 45.5-point underdog against Clemson.
Oh, no.
Okay, so let's bring Darren to the microphone and have him select the first of two, the final pick of week two, and then he will have the top pick on the pro side.
Indian Fever. It starts on the very first inning. Indian Fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel
when I win.
So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer in Georgia Tech again. I mean, if everybody's going to do it, I'm going to make this really simple.
That's awesome.
Don't change anything that you wrote down last week. Give me Georgia Tech plus 7.5, and give me the Dolphins plus 5.5. I'm just going to pick the same.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
If this is going to be our theme, then I'm just going to go right back to the what I did last week.
Well, Georgia Tech is a 7.5-point dog playing at home this time against number 14, UCF. Now, the Golden Knights, that's an interesting program there, trying to assert themselves against the big boys of the Power Five. But Georgia Tech is the home dog. So there you have it. And then as we switch over to the pros, as we snake back around, let's go to the Miami Dolphins. They are a 5.5-point dog playing at home against the Buffalo Bills, who are 1-0. They looked impressive, albeit it was against the Jets. So we'll see if the Dolphins can bounce back in their home opener.
That was easy. There you go.
So you're going back to – are you sure that Fitzmagic will be back for week two?
He has a knack for doing this. He does the, you know, 5 interceptions in a game and then comes back with 400 and 3 touchdowns. That's what he does.
Against
the
Bills
defense?
That's why
he's been basically a career backup or a journeyman, because you play this roller coaster game with him his whole career. That's what he does.
Okay. That brings us to Chris Sanders for his professional football pick.
I am going with the Houston Texans over Baltimore Ravens.
Dang it.
That is an interesting matchup. And the reason why I'm saying that is because they played terrible against Kansas City, and everybody's talking about how terrible they are. When you're a man, hey, they're going to show up as man.
So it's the same principle. They are going to bounce back. They're going to get off the turf.
Yeah.
So the Texans, with a really tough schedule to start the season, they go to Kansas City, then they host the Ravens. So this is the home opener. The Texans are a 7-point dog against Lamar Jackson and company. So that should be a fun one to watch. And so that pick is registered. That
is there any tougher schedule out of the gates than Houston?
That's got to be the toughest.
My goodness.
No way. You can't get tougher than
Kansas
that.
Kansas City and Baltimore out of the gates? Yikes.
That brings us to Kelly Holcomb for the third pick.
Well, since we're going with the theme, I might go with the theme again. I had another pick, but then I'm looking at one and I'm like, Am I seeing this right? Is Dallas an underdog at Atlanta?
No. They're a 4.5-point favorite.
Oh, they're 4. Okay, all right. I'm seeing it wrong. Okay, all right. So that's what I'm doing. Okay, good. So I am going with – I say Minnesota beats Indianapolis.
I had that one
marked for sure.
Minnesota is a 3-point dog on the road against the Indianapolis Colts, who are trying to bounce back from the loss to the Jaguars. So both teams looking for their first win. The Vikings came up short against the Packers. And so the Vikings are the choice for Kelly Holcomb. That brings us to the final pick, Chase McCabe.
Yes, indeedy. Some good picks by you fellas. So kind of made me rethink my strategy here. But I'm going to go, and this could be dangerous, but I'm going to do it. Sunday Night Football, Cam again on the road, the Patriots plus 4 against Seattle. Give me Cam and the Pats.
Indeed, the Patriots are a 4-point dog on the road Sunday night against the Seattle Seahawks with Pete Carroll. That's a former Super Bowl matchup. A lot of prestige. We'll see what Cam Newton has on the big stage with the national audience. Good stuff.
All right.
Thank you for that analysis.
Yep. Okay. Can you do the recap?
Okay. Well, let's recap. I got to write these down, guys. I've got to keep records here, so I'm trying to multitask.
I don't think there was
usually
any.
Usually, there's this great.
I know there was no chatter
coming.
There was
just no chatter. Nobody
which
talked
probably
trash
tells you. Yeah, it probably tells you how all of us felt about that pick.
You guys are really focused.
You didn't like
week.
That pick.
That was a dud.
Yeah. You think it's a dud?
That was a throwaway.
Okay.
All right, Elijah, hit the music and let us recap the picks for Silly Underdogs 2020 Week. Number 2, Chase McCabe, coming out of the gates with a win, looking for more, going with the Thundering Herd of Marshall, a 4.5-point dog, taking on number 24, Appalachian State. Kelly Holcomb, sticking with the theme of going back to the well, picking a game involving somebody that they picked against the week before. He goes with the Navy midshipman, coming off of an embarrassing first loss, trying to recover as a 7-point dog on the road against Tulane. Chris Sanders, looking for his first win of the season. The defending champion selects, again, the Orange of Syracuse. They got waxed at North Carolina. This week, as a 21.5-point dog, they will take on the Pittsburgh Panthers, ranked 25th in the country. Darren McFarland selects with the fourth pick, goes back to the same well. He won with Georgia Tech in week one. He goes with the Yellow Jackets again in week two, a 7.5-point dog, playing at home against the 14th-ranked Golden Knights of Central Florida. Then he piggybacks off of that as we go to the NFL picks, and he selects the Miami Dolphins, a 5.5-point home dog in their home opener against the Buffalo Bills. Chris Sanders' pro pick is the Houston Texans, a 7-point dog playing at home against the mighty Baltimore Ravens. The third pick in the pros, Kelly Holcomb, the Minnesota Vikings, a 3-point underdog playing on the road against Phillip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts, both teams looking for their first win. And then finally, Chase McCabe in the Sunday night game selects the New England Patriots under Cam Newton, a 4-point dog on the road against Pete Carroll's Seattle Seahawks, who won their first game. Remember, you can play this contest along with us. We've got prizes for you. It's a lot of fun. Go to thegamenashville.com and click on Silly Underdog Picks and make your picks each week. Play along with us. Those are our picks for week number two. And gentlemen, good luck.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Whatever.
Is that really? I mean, Darren, you're leading the contest. Did I get that? I mean, that's just... That's unnecessary.
Yeah. How those? Everybody, nobody's really... Everybody laughed. Everybody else thought it was funny.
Not but I don't you. Think so. I think they were kind of giving you a courtesy.
Okay.
Courtesy thing.
Chris, are you guys are at MUS? Is that correct? Who do you have this week?
Oh, Chris, peaced out.
Oh, peaced out. Kelly, who do you have this week?
We have got Rockville.
You got Rockville. Okay.
Yes, we've got Rockville. Hey, I've got a question for the commish. Are
what
we going to keep this? I said, are we going to keep this whole thing? Like when the Big Ten start coming back and the SEC, are we going to keep this same schedule with the pros too? I mean, I like it, but are we going to? We're going to stick with the pros all year.
I think we have to finish how we start, right?
Okay,
I think we have
good.
To stay consistent.
Yep. I like yes. it. Yes. I'm a fan.
I like it, too. I like the two picks. I'm big. I'm a big fan.
You made
a good decision.
You mean, hold on, decision, wait. You're saying the commissioner made a good decision?
You made a good decision.
Oh,
man.
I can't. This is
one.
Mark this down.
Did
mark
the commissioner
this,
make that decision?
keep this
keep on
the audio.
Did you make this decision on your own, or did you all?
Oh,
three
let's wait for the let's wait for
involved.
This answer. Let's sit back.
Willie, your thoughts?
As the commissioner, I consulted my constituents, and we huddled up on it, and I made the final call.
Consulted, Darren.
Okay,
he
good.
Consulted.
Good. Okay. All right. Good. I like it. That's what
Very
a good,
good.
Leader does.
This
consults.
Is really
I
this
like
has
it.
Made my day.
He's going to have pep in his step the rest of the way.
That is ending on a high note. Kelly, thank you. Good nice. Luck on Friday. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, see you, man.
All right, Kelly Holcomb, Chris Sanders, another installment of Silly Underdog Picks. It's fun. Play along with us. We want those numbers up, up, and up. You've been doing it in the past. We want them to be up again this year. We appreciate your participation. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Stuff. Silly Underdog Picks every Thursday at noon. Play along with us. A lot of fun every single week. You get to make three picks in any order that you want. You can pick all three college, you can pick all three pros, or a combination of both. So you get three picks as the listeners. Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock. Also, Casey Alexander in the final hour as well. There's been some news on the college basketball front. I want to talk a little bit about some of the ratings. We got into this a little bit yesterday. The Titans, I believe, let me see, just to make it official, Mark Benda The program director over at News Channel 5 is back with putting out ratings. The Titans' combined rating of the channels that they were on was 18.4. It was still doing a 15.5 at 12:15 in the morning. So that's pretty incredible when you think about it.
Yeah.
The top five games, of course, the number one was the Titans game, followed by the Bucks and the Saints, which was a 15.6, followed by the Cowboys and the Rams, which was a 15.2. That's pretty impressive. Usually the Sunday Night Football game, if it's a good one, gets really high ratings. But to have the Bucks and the Saints, and by the way, that did nationally really, really well, Bucks-Saints. Texans-Chiefs next at 13.1, Dolphins-Patriots at 9.9, and Seahawks-Falcons 7-0. What's interesting is you guys have watched it more than me, and you've talked about how good the NBA product has been. We know we've talked a lot about the NHL product. There's been some really good games there as well, but they have not really – it's amazing how the NFL continues. There was no college football games in there anywhere, and I get it, no SEC games and no huge matchups yet, but it's just amazing. I mean, how it seems like no matter what NFL game they throw out there, people just can't get enough of it. I mean, they cannot get enough. I mean, the Texans-Chiefs was the Thursday night game. It was a 13-1 on Thursday night, a 13-1. So it just
– So are you saying you're surprised by that?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm saying I continue to be – when these other sports, just like the NBA, for whatever reason, their playoffs have garnered really good numbers and really good numbers in this market, especially this late in the game in the playoffs – and, you know, they haven't scratched the surface, any of their playoff games in this market. And I don't know why it hasn't really stuck this year. I mean, I know this year's been weird and odd, and there's been some day games. I mean, so I know it's all over the place, but
I think it's that, and there may be some other things connected to that. I don't know, but
What do you mean by that?
Well, it could be some of the social things.
Okay,
that are
well, say
on,
it. You know. I mean, I know that's what you were getting at.
Right.
Just say it. I mean, that I don't think there's any doubt that has affected things. Whether it's right or wrong or whether it's fair or unfair, we've seen in sports that it does affect things, whether you like it or not, whether you agree or disagree. It has affected sports in the last several years when these, like you said, social issues come up.
Yeah, I mean – I was curious of how it would affect, if at all, the NFL, and at least in this market, it doesn't seem like it has. But, I think that with the NBA, and I haven't really seen the NHL. I haven't looked at the NHL in a while. But, you know, I would say that probably plays a role in it.
Well, the NHL hasn't really registered in any of the ratings. And Mark Bennett hasn't put out – he has just really kind of started doing it again. But they have not – the NBA or – well, I think there's been like one NBA game register. I think it was fifth.
Yeah.
But overall, the other sports, golf and NASCAR have done pretty well through all of this.
And NASCAR has – you know, they've started their playoffs, so and they've had night races, which, I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of feel like that's the direction they needed to go if they're going to go up against the NFL. But, you know, they've the last few weeks, they had the Sunday night race at Darlington. They had Saturday night at Richmond. They're Saturday night at Bristol this week. So, but it's, you know, they've definitely, I think that them coming back before anybody has helped. And you've had some people stick with them. Now, I want to see, as we get deeper into the NFL and the college season, you know, what happens there. But I think that's certainly factored in there.
Do the Bengals-Browns, is it the same as we're talking about tonight? Does it get really good ratings? Are people interested in Bengals-Browns tonight?
Is that just on NFL Network or is it
yes.
on Fox too?
NFL Network.
Then I think it'll be down.
It's a pretty intriguing game, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of. I'm going to watch it.
Well, you've got a lot to prove if you're the Browns, right? The Browns really have their backs at the wall here. They cannot lose the Bengals, A, and B, go to 0-2, and B, or C, have Baker Mayfield not look so good. There's already rumblings, you know, what's going on? It doesn't look any better. A lot of pressure on that one. And, you know, the Bengals, I think, can be loose and see if they can pull this off. They should have won their first game, even though we don't think the L.A. Chargers are a great team. I think it's got a chance to be a really fun game to watch.
Yep.
Joe Burrow I versus Baker Mayfield. I like that matchup.
First picks in the draft?
Sure.
The Battle of Ohio.
I think there's – I'll be watching for sure. I think there's real intrigue. I think what I want to know – there's a couple developments on the Cleveland side of things. Is Odell Beckham – is he just a name now? I mean, is he a real threat in the league? Is he really still an elite receiver? When's the last time you felt that way about Odell Beckham, other than you just know his name and you know the one-hand catch?
I think we brought this up when we were talking about fantasy before the drafts, and that was, would there be a bounce back with the new coach and the fact that he was hurt last year and playing through it, and he's still in what you would say would be a bad year for him. He still had 1,000 yards receiving and 70-something catches. I'm not ready to give up after week one on him. It was just a bad game all around. I think this is the game where it's got to look better. They played the Ravens in the first game. Now they're not playing the Ravens. They're playing the Bengals. It should look a lot better tonight, but we'll see.
Do you think I've seen a few, I guess, rumblings that they could trade him? I know Mike Francesa put it out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much stock I really put into that right now. I don't see it. They're one game into the season, what team would, if he keeps playing the way he's playing, what team would really want to make that move? I don't know. But he's not the number one elite guy anymore.
His first three seasons were off the charts. His last three seasons, just a guy.
Billy and I had him on our fantasy team.
The teams that he played for reflect that. He went from being on a pretty good team to some bad teams.
Yeah, but if you're in that
the first 3 years, the Giants, they were really good teams.
I think they were a playoff team more than once in those three years, weren't they?
I don't remember.
15, what was the game where they went down and they had the boat or whatever?
The boat, yeah.
Before the playoff game, they made the playoffs that year.
Yeah, I think if
the Love Boat, or was that the Vikings? I get my teams mixed up on the Love Boat.
The Vikings was the Love Boat.
I think the Party Boat
was down in Florida, right? Down in Miami?
That sounds right. I can't remember.
I'm just saying his last 3 years have been eh. First 3 years, off the charts. Elite receiver. Crazy stats. Last 3 years, eh. Okay, he's there.
Barely.
Everybody
been over
knows
1,000
his name.
Yards.
Everybody knows his name, but he's good for about 4 or 5 touchdowns a year, about 7, about 70 catches.
Right.
And that's not elite.
No, to be elite, you have to have double digit touchdowns.
Flirt with 100 receptions. Yeah. 1,300 yards, 1,400 yards, and double digit touchdowns. Yeah, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's
what he did his first 3 years.
Right. And the last year, the first year with Cleveland, 74 receptions, 1,035, four touchdowns. That's just – and he's supposed to be the go-to guy for Baker Mayfield, and that's – I mean, that's decent. That's obviously, the Titans had A.J. Brown over 1,000, just over 1,000, but that's a rookie. So for a guy like Odell Beckham, what they gave up for him and what he's paid, that's just not good enough.
Yeah, I just don't think we're ever going to see. I think his best days are behind him. I really do. Now, the question is, have we seen the best of Baker Mayfield? That is the question that probably has a lot of Browns fans very scared.
Well, regardless of the fantasy stats, the offense was just painful to watch in the first week. I watched a lot of that game. It just, whoa. You know, you really were wondering what they would bring to the table with the new coach, the new view. But it was the Ravens, right? I'm trying to be careful not to overreact to the first game. But that's why I think this game is going to be so intriguing. Because, man, there's going to be some howling if they look bad tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no doubt.
Because the Browns fans, they've cooled it a little bit. You know, last year was the hype train. This year they stayed under the radar. I was really hoping that that would equate to a much better looking product. It didn't look any. It looked worse in the first game, but they were playing the Ravens,
right? Yep.
So tonight it should look better, but how much better?
A W better. That's
what
it needs to look like. Six.
Yep.
Six. They're favored by six.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, man. No, it's at Cleveland.
No, I thought about Cincinnati.
I did too.
And their underdogs. I really did.
Too. And hindsight being 2020, I'm kind of kicking myself. But I definitely thought about it. I'm intrigued by it because you heard Tim yesterday. He wasn't all that impressed with Burrow in week one, but it was his first game, no preseason, so you got to factor that in. And he put the team in a position to almost win. They or at least should have tied it and have a chance, but because Baker Mayfield, every excuse in the book has been made, and I feel like that those are gone now. Like, you're out of excuses. You ran, you know, the idiot head coach off. You got Stefanski that's supposed to be better, brought him in. You've gotten him weapons, you know, to put around him, but now you just, it's on him. And I don't know if this bugs you guys, but all the commercials that he's been doing, you know, they were funny. The stadium commercials, I laughed. But
I can't believe they came back with him a second year.
No.
Yeah, but that's my point.
I was like, say what?
That's my point. And he's been doing some other ones. I think he's in a Hulu or something. And it's like, you know, if you're not putting up the numbers on the field, which is what you need to be focusing on, I don't know if I really – you know, if I'm a Browns fan, I don't know if I want you spending that extra time filming commercials.
Well, it's the easiest, you know, it's the easiest place to go for anybody whenever you start struggling. That's where everybody's going to turn, right?
The extra,
like, you don't ever see, I mean, how many commercials have you seen Tom Brady in? I mean, there's a lot of, you know, surefire Hall of Famers. How many commercials have you seen him in?
Not many that I can think of. Not
Tony lately. Romo used to be in a lot of them.
Yeah, Romo was in some.
But I wouldn't put Tony Romo in. I'm talking about like the elite quarterbacks.
Now Peyton did some. You know, Peyton had.
But he was already very established. The thing that's different about Mayfield is he's doing it before he's really established anything on the field. I mean, it's one thing if you're not winning a Super Bowl. It's another thing if you're not winning at all.
And
the thing that's mystifying to me is why did they come to him? Why, especially for a second year?
Because he's got personality. He's the Cleveland Browns quarterback. He was the number one pick overall, and so yeah, he's got a huge name.
Which I could understand going into last year. I don't understand it going into this year.
Yeah,
they flopped last year. Unless they signed a 2-year deal last year,
which could have been. I don't know. But, but the thing is, you know, if Brady had done all these commercials and Peyton, you know, early on, if he had done them, if they're winning, nobody cares. You know, everybody's like, all right, hey, Peyton in the commercials. I mean, we would laugh all the time at the DirecTV commercials that Peyton Manning did, but he was winning. So you didn't bat an eye at it. But if Baker
But
keeps
he do
doing,
all that, he did all that stuff when he was well established in the league, though, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
was it early on in his career?
I can't remember exactly. I mean, it was, yeah. He hadn't won a Super Bowl yet, I don't think, but he had come in, and you know, you identified him as one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. But that's my point. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when, as long as you're winning. It doesn't matter when you do it, as long as you're putting up the numbers that you're supposed to. So if Baker turns it around after 1 week against Baltimore and they knock off 3-4 wins in a row, then people on the, you know, will probably back off some on the commercials. But then if they lose 3-4 in a row, then they're back on it. Like, hey, what are you doing? Focus on the game.
Another high-pressure game is going to be on Sunday with the Cowboys and the Falcons. It is going to be – the Cowboys is going to be, yet again, real pressure. You cannot lose that game, right? You cannot lose to the Falcons. You can't. Because if they lose to the Falcons and they're 0-2, it's going to be the focus all next week. Well, nationally, is going to be on the Cowboys.
No doubt about it. They were kicking it around this morning. And Mike Greenberg put up the stat that we put up every year. When you go 0-2, you have a 7.4% chance of making the playoffs since the realignment happened and the divisions are how they are now, four-team divisions. So 0-2 is tough to dig out of. But remember, there is another slot this year.
That's right.
It's easier to get in. And I would also look at the Texans and say, okay, if you lose to the Chiefs and the Ravens – and you're 0-2, that's a little different than losing to the Rams and the Falcons.
That's correct. Yep. Yeah, two non-playoff teams last year.
Right.
To your point, though, Willie, on the extra playoff spot, if what we all kind of, again, overreaction week one, but think that could happen, I mean, the NFC West could dominate a lot or could take most of those spots, if not all. I mean, if all four teams in that division – they play at a high level and they're competing against one another. And I know they got to play each other, but it still could work out that division is well represented. So there's going to be, even though there's one extra spot, there's still going to be, not a lot of room for error.
So we'll see how all those play out. The other one is going to be a lot of pressure on the Bucks. They're at home against the Panthers,
Teddy B.
A lot of sexy names.
The noise will get pretty loud if they go 0-2. No doubt.
You got Bruce Arians calling out Tom Brady. I mean, what happens if they lose again? So that will be very – and by the way, Colts-Vikings, one of those teams is going to be 0-2, and that's going to be a surprise to people. One of those two teams is going to be 0-2, and that is going to be a surprise if you look at all the predictions around the league. Everybody – from what I could tell, including us, had the Vikings and the Colts as playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is going to be 0-2.
Very intrigued by that.
After Sunday. All right,
Are you guys surprised that it is 7.4% going 0-2 in a league that is all about parity? I would have thought it would be a little bit higher over time. I'm not saying 50%, but I'm saying
I would have thought a little bit.
Between
more.
10 and 20% 12,
I would
is realistic.
Thought 12.
7% is low.
I would have thought double, 12 to 14%.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That does seem incredibly low considering you have 14 more games that an 0-2 start could put you that far on the outside looking in. But those are the numbers. We'll come back. Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet to kick off the fourth and final hour of Darren Dunnick and Chase. That's next.